We're glad that you've taken the time to join us. Let me just adjust a couple of things here. And I'm going to ask you if you'd open your Bibles this morning over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we are going to continue our study this morning in the book of 1 Corinthians. Last week we were together, we actually took a little bit of a detour teaching about how forgiven are you, and we do have those messages available on the website. Also, those messages were part of the series that myself and Alex did when we were at the Seattle Bible Conference. So we took a little bit of a detour, and we're going to get back on track here with 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. So if you'll open your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and begin this morning with me at verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you again for such a marvelous passage of Scripture that really gets right to the heart of the truth of your word, the truth of the resurrected Christ and what it means. We pray for insight and wisdom this morning as we study this, that we could live our lives in the light of the fact that Jesus Christ did indeed conquer death, and in doing so provided for us an eternal salvation, an eternal home in the heavenly places with you. In Christ's name, amen. Well, of course, we've already spent a number of weeks here in 1 Corinthians and have seen time and time again that the whole issue in 1 Corinthians has to do with the doctrine of resurrection. And that the reason the Apostle Paul is dealing with this issue, you can see in verse 12, 1 Corinthians 15, 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? There were some at Corinth, some actually within the local assembly, that this is not, you know, just some city dwellers, just some people apart from the local assembly. These are people in the local assembly at Corinth who were actually teaching that there was no such thing as the resurrection of the dead. By the way, that's not necessarily by any means a new teaching or a new doctrine. If you will go with me over to Acts 23, you'll notice that the idea that there's no such thing as bodily resurrection, it didn't just start there at Corinth. It was quite a popular doctrine back then. It's quite a popular doctrine today, of course. Over here in Acts chapter number 23, Luke records this account where Paul is here before a group of Pharisees and Sadducees. Look over to Acts 23, verse 6. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question." And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Well, you can see in the passage here that this group of Jews that became known as the Sadducees, they were one of the leadership group in the nation of Israel, they said that there was no such thing as resurrection. if neither angel nor spirit. They just what these folks were is that they, of course, did not take the word of God literally. They were spiritualists. That is, they spiritualized everything. There's no such thing as literal resurrection. There's no such thing as angel nor spirit, that type of thing. So everything just had kind of a spiritual meaning to it. If you look over to Matthew 22, and you can see these same guys here. Matthew 22, verse 23, it says, "The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection." So that this group here taught the idea that there was no such thing as bodily resurrection. But understand this, that this idea of no such thing as bodily resurrection was not limited to this group of Jews. If you will go with me to the book, back to the book of Acts, chapter number 17, it was quite prevalent among the Gentiles as well. Look over to Acts chapter 17. Look over to Acts chapter number 17 and start with me at verse 16. Acts 17, verse 16. "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others said, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.'" And they didn't really understand what in the world he meant by that. What is this thing about the resurrection? So what I want you to notice is that the idea that there's no such thing, the idea that there's no such thing as resurrection, was not limited to the Sadducees. It was prevalent among the Gentile world as well. A little bit later on in this same chapter, look at verse 32. Look at verse 32. We're in Acts 17:32. "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead," look what happens, "some mocked." You see that? So again, the idea that there's no such thing as bodily resurrection, that's been around for thousands of years. It's not something that's brand new that just arrived, just rose up at Corinth. It was the result of doctrines that both Jews and Gentiles who did not believe the Word of God held and passed on from generation to generation to generation. Well, the Apostle Paul comes in to Corinth. They're preaching the gospel of the grace of God, that Christ died for their sins, buried, and rose again, offering salvation full and free, complete and final. And some at Corinth got saved, and they began to meet as a local assembly, and then some within the local assembly said, "Well, you know, there's really no such thing as resurrection after all." Okay? Well, so Paul here, you can turn back to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul is going to say, okay, guys, first of all, if Christ is preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection? How can you guys really say that you believe the gospel and yet say that there's no such thing as resurrection? Do you understand what that does to the gospel? There's no such thing as the gospel then. There's no such thing as the gospel of the grace of God. It wouldn't exist, okay? And so what he's going to do, beginning at verse 13, all the way down to verse 19, he's going to go over the practical ramifications or practical consequences if there is no such thing as bodily resurrection. So let's pick up now at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 13, okay? So he says, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen." Now, understand something. The argument that the people at Corinth were making, that is, those that were saying there's no such thing as resurrection, they were not directly attacking the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were indirectly undermining it. They were indirectly attacking the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice how they were doing it. Look at verse 12 again. "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" What they were saying, they were not saying directly that Christ didn't rise from the dead, they were saying there is no such thing as resurrection of the dead. And of course, the point being that if there's no such thing as resurrection of the dead, then Christ didn't rise from the dead. So understand that. The tactic that was being used here to undermine the gospel of the grace of God was not a direct assault against the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an indirect, it was kind of a roundabout way. By denying bodily resurrection in general, therefore, they were denying the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ in particular. So it was kind of a roundabout attack here. And so what the Apostle Paul does, he really picks up their argument and with the purpose of helping them see and appreciate the consequences of making that statement. Because what they were doing, they were saying, well, no, Christ didn't rise from the dead. There's no such thing as resurrection. But we still have forgiveness of sins. We still are going to go to heaven when we die. We still are in right relationship to God. And Paul says, no. If there is no such thing as resurrection, then Christ didn't rise from the dead, and none of what I'm teaching you is the truth then. You can't just say, well, no, Christ didn't rise from the dead, but we still have eternal life. We still have forgiveness of sins. We still are going to go to heaven when we die. We still are going to be with the Lord forever in the glories of His heavens, and so forth. Paul says, no, that doesn't make any sense at all. That's completely inconsistent. He says at verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then number one, is Christ not risen? If there's no such thing as bodily resurrection, then what it means, first and foremost, not simply in order of sequence, but in order of priority and importance. If there's no such thing as the bodily resurrection of the dead, then first and foremost, then Jesus Christ never came up out of that tomb. That's his point. If there's no such thing as resurrection, then is Christ not risen? If there's no such thing as resurrection, then that means Jesus Christ did not conquer death. That means that death is still holding Jesus Christ. That means death did keep its prey. That means when Peter says that it was not possible for him to be holden of death, that Peter lied. Peter didn't know what he was talking about. And that Jesus Christ, to this very day, this very moment in time, is still being held by death. If you will go to verse 55 of the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 55 of chapter 15. He says this, look at what he says about death and its ability to hold and that type of thing. He says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Okay, you kind of work backwards in the verse. The reason that death is able to get a human body is because of sin. And of course, the law demonstrates that sin. The reason that the grave gets a body is because death got the body. And the reason that the grave holds the body, the reason that death can claim and hold and keep its clutches on that body and keep it there in the prison of death, the reason it's able to do that is because of sin. That's the big key right there. It says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. Sin in the flesh is why death gets the body, is why the grave gets the body. Okay, see that there? Well, what would that mean then? That if there's no such thing as resurrection, then number one, is Christ not risen? Why? Because death would still have its prey. It would mean that sin was not paid for. It would mean that the wages of sin is death, that those wages were not satisfied by the payment of the blood of Jesus Christ, it would mean that Jesus Christ did not come up out of that tomb. It would mean that Jesus Christ did not successfully satisfy the justice of Almighty God. It would mean that Jesus Christ was not the propitiation for our sins. And as John says, even for the sins of the whole world. So the first and foremost issue is that if there's no such thing as resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Now, look at what Paul goes on to say at verse 14. He says, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain." Think for just a moment here, if you would, with me, as to the significance of Paul's statements in verse 13 and 14. Paul places the entire validity of his preaching and our faith in his preaching, he rests it upon the fact, the event, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now think about the significance of that. In other words, if there was one event upon which Christianity stands or falls, if there was one event upon which Paul's entire ministry stands or falls, that's right, it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is, as they say, the watershed event. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, then Paul's entire ministry is a hoax. And hence, you and I believing Paul's ministry, it's just believing in vain. As Paul began, remember back in verse 2 of the same chapter, "Unless you believed in vain." If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then to believe in Him as your Savior, then to trust Him as your Lord, then to rest in His future coming for us is all in vain. It is that simple. If you're seeking to witness to somebody about Christianity and the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ and the claims of the Bible, and they say, "Well, why should I believe the Bible? Why should I believe the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again? I mean, on what grounds, what basis, and so forth?" And what you want to do is you want to tell them, "Well, consider the resurrection of Christ. Consider whether or not it occurred." And then, of course, spend some time looking at the passages about the resurrection of Christ and deal with those verses and so on. But the point being, just tell them, "Listen, if you want to determine whether or not the claims of the New Testament are legitimate, the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ are legitimate and true and honest and right, all you got to do is take the time, research the resurrection, and determine whether or not the resurrection of Christ actually occurred." The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most important event in all of human history, period. Now, some people say, no, the cross of Christ is. No. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ means nothing. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the shed of blood means nothing. The resurrection of Jesus Christ bodily from the dead is the most important event of all of human history. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Paul's entire message is a hoax. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Peter's message is a hoax. It's a lie. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the entire records of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, it's all a lie, friends. It's all a hoax. It's all one big story that some people made up. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the whole story about the miracles, walking across the Sea of Galilee, healing, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, feeding the 5,000, that, friends, those are all just wishful thinking. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, Him going up to the cross, being crucified for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of Israel, friends, it's just in vain. It's just nothing. It would mean nothing. It would just be a big myth, a big lie that somebody fabricated. Everything in the entire New Testament stands or falls on whether or not Jesus Christ actually rose from the dead. There's just no way around it. Rose from the dead bodily. And I keep emphasizing bodily because that's what's going on in the chapter here. There were those that were saying, oh yeah, we believe that Christ is our Savior, but he didn't rise from the dead bodily. There are whole groups out there that claim to be Christians. They're not, by the way. The Jehovah's Witness organizations say that Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead bodily. He rose from the dead spiritually. Well, listen, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead bodily, that means death still has his body. That means he did not conquer death. And so what they're believing, well, of course, it's totally vain anyway. Their whole doctrine is vain and so forth. But here in this context, these were people that were part of the local assembly at Corinth. Listen, the most important event in all of the entire New Testament is Jesus Christ rose from the dead bodily. Friends, people say, no, the most important event is the second coming of Christ. Friends, not if he didn't come up out of the grave the first time. If he didn't come up out of the grave the first, if he didn't rise from the dead, he ain't going to have a second coming. If he didn't rise from the dead, he never ascended to the Father's right hand. If he didn't rise from the dead, he never filled Psalms 110, or Psalms 2, or Psalms 16, or Psalms 22. None of those passages. If he didn't rise from the dead, he never fulfilled Isaiah 53. If he didn't rise from the dead, there's no way he's going to be that rider on the white horse that comes out when the heavens are open, as described there in Revelation chapter number 19. If Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, then Paul says here at verse 14, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. Again, I say, let me ask it this way. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, it means that he did not pay the price of the sins of humanity. It means he was not the propitiation for our sins. It means that his shed blood did not satisfy the justice of Almighty God, and hence God could not have raised him from the dead. The resurrection of Christ addresses a judicial issue in the integrity of God. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, that means that God didn't raise him . All right, how about now? Do we have any sound now? How about now? It's back. Okay, we are back. Okay, very good. So, let's continue on. By the way, thanks for the notice there that we lost the sound there. I'll keep watching it there. Okay, so back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. I trust that I'm not sure how long, only lost it for a second. Fine, okay. So, just remember, you got to realize this, that if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, what does it mean fundamentally? It means that God did not raise him from the dead, and that would be because the blood of Christ did not satisfy his justice. Hence, his claim that he would be the Savior of Israel and the Gentiles, it was just not true. So let's go on here at verse 14. So it says, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Oh my, there's so much to say about that. Think about Paul's preaching. Just think about it through Paul's epistles. You start at the book of Romans, and Paul starts and says that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But friends, if Christ did not rise from the dead, then that's not true. He goes on to say that a man is justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. But if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then that's not true. He goes on to say that, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, you don't have peace with God. He goes on to say in chapter 6 of Romans that we were buried with Him by baptism into death. We were identified into His death, baptism, His death, burial, and resurrection. But if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then you're not identified into His death, burial, and resurrection. He goes on to say in Romans chapter number 7 that we're dead to the law because of our identification into the death of Christ. But if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then that's not true. He goes on to teach us in Romans chapter number 8 that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And the whole doctrine in chapter number 8 about our sonship position, our sonship walk, and that we look forward eagerly, waiting for the adoption to it, the redemption of our body, and that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then none of that's true. He goes on to say in Romans 9, 10, 11 and explain about the fall of Israel and the ushering in of the dispensation of the grace of God, but none of that's true. He goes on through the rest of the book to talk about how we should take these doctrines of God's grace and this new information about the dispensation of grace and the postponement of the fulfillment of Israel's program for the present formation of the body, and how we should let those things live in our lives to the glory of God. But if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then none of that's true. And on it goes. You can just think through this book, the book of Corinthians. Paul said things, go back with me, for example, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. He says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. But if Jesus Christ never rose from the dead, then none of that's true. You have not been washed. You're not sanctified. You're certainly not justified. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, friends, the whole idea that Jesus Christ is our life is a lie. The whole idea that we have total, complete forgiveness of sins is a lie. The whole idea that when you die, you're going to go to heaven, that's a lie. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead bodily, Paul says right here, then is our preaching vain. After all, where does Paul claim that he got his message? If you go over to Galatians chapter number 1, go to Galatians chapter number 1 and notice what it says here. Galatians chapter number 1, verse 11, he says, "But I certify you, brethren, the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." But if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then that's not true. Jesus Christ never appeared to the Apostle Paul then, if he never rose from the dead bodily. Galatians chapter number 1, verse 15. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me." If Jesus Christ never rose from the dead, God never did that. If Jesus Christ never rose from the dead, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, never appeared to the Apostle Paul. If Jesus Christ never rose from the dead, Paul says, then His preaching is vain. Think about all that means. Think about all these verses the Apostle Paul talks about, the sufferings of this present time, not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And as you, and as people that you know, as saved people that you know, go through the sufferings of this present time, trusting these verses, resting in them, realizing that God's not delivering us from infirmities and difficulties and suffering today, but rather He's working in the inner man, or so the verses claim, and that as He works in the inner man, that He's producing for us and for Himself a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And people that you know, and you, as you go through sufferings, you believe those verses, you rest in those verses, you count on those verses, you depend on those verses. That's where your confidence is in. But if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then friends, it's all a big lie. Your confidence in those verses is vain. There is no future glory out there for you. There is no heavenly places out there in which you're going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, Paul says, our preaching is vain. You see, this whole message about the one new man, this new dispensation, the dispensation of the grace of God, this new creature, the church, the body of Christ, the whole message about Jesus Christ returning one day for the body of Christ to catch us away, to be with Himself, and to place us in the heavenly places, so that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The whole message about that upon the ages upon, that unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Well, friends, how can it be by Christ Jesus if He did not rise from the dead? You see, Paul says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. You can believe it all you want. You can trust in it all you want. You can read it every day like you want. But you know what? If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then your faith is vain. Do you understand the significance of that? Everything stands or falls based upon whether or not Jesus Christ actually rose from the dead bodily. Now, as a little bit of a side note, but something very important, look at verse 14 again. Paul says, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. There's a real interesting side note when you think about the principle in verse 14. You can have faith in something that is vain, and it's vain. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, a lot of times you'll hear people say, well, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you believe something. People say, well, there are many roads to God. They say, God is like the center of town. You can get there by a lot of different roads. Well, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what Paul says here. Paul believed that there were things that were absolute truth. Paul believed that there were things that were absolute in their consequences. When he says here, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. You can have faith in something that is vain, and it doesn't make the thing that you have faith in come true. It doesn't make it true. People say, well, if you believe something, then it's true for you. Well, Paul didn't believe that. He says, our preaching would be vain if Christ didn't rise from the dead, and your believing it wouldn't make it true. It would be vain. That's a great verse to use when you come across somebody you're seeking to lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they're, you know, intellectuals or atheists or agnostics, whatever they are. And they say, well, that works for you, it just doesn't work for me. That's good for you, you have faith in that, it works for you, I have faith in this over here, it's good for me. Just because you have faith in something doesn't make it so. Truth is the truth whether or not you believe it. And a lie is a lie whether or not you believe it's the truth. So that's an important passage to really think about there, that you can have faith in something, but having faith in something, that is not what determines whether or not it's true. For Paul himself says that if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And you can believe it all you want, but your faith is also vain. Something that's not true doesn't become true just because you believe it. The whole issue of faith, as described and defined by Scripture, is God has made some claims. God has said something. And it's true. And it's true whether or not we believe it. But by believing it, we gain the benefit of it. Okay? Our believing something is not what makes it true. If something's the truth, it could care less whether or not we believe it. If you think about the nature of truth, truth is, how can I say it? Truth is the truth. It in a sense, it's cold and uncaring in a sense. Don't misunderstand what I mean by that. But in other words, let me give you an example. Gravity. You go stand at the top of the Empire State Building and jump off, Gravity's not going to tell you, oh, please don't jump off because it's probably going to be painful by the time you hit the bottom here. Gravity doesn't care. It doesn't say a thing to you. It's just there. You jump and you're going to fall. So the truth of gravity, it's just cold. It's uncaring. It's just there. And it doesn't say, please don't jump. It could care whether or not you jump. Truth is the truth, whether or not we believe it. And a lie is a lie is a lie, no matter how hard you try to make it the truth. Paul says, in verse 14, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. He says, yea, verse 15, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Paul not only says is his preaching vain, but Paul says he would be a false witness of God, and hence he would be bringing even God's integrity into question, because Paul is out preaching that God raised up Christ from the dead. If you'll turn back over to Romans 6, look at the exact phrase he says here. This is wonderful. Look over to Romans chapter number 6. Romans 6 verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, watch this, how? By the glory of the Father. You ever notice that phrase before? Christ was raised from the dead, how? By the glory of the Father. See, Paul claimed that God the Father raised Christ from the dead, and he did it by his glory. Well, what does he mean by that? Remember how Paul identifies him over in Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1, make the connection here. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 17. Paul says in Ephesians 1, 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? Glory. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has a plan. It's his eternal plan. And that plan is called glory. He's the Father of that plan. The Father of glory. This plan to glorify Christ. And God the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead by his glory. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter number 6. It says, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, how? By the glory of the Father. God the Father raised him up in accordance with that glory plan. So Paul says. But wait a minute. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then Paul is actually a false witness of God, because Paul has been preaching that God the Father raised up Christ from the dead. See that? Well, look again at verse 15. He says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Understand this, and we've said it before, that if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then you need to find something else to do than sitting in on these Bible studies. Okay? He says at verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. See verse 17 there? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. What an exchange. Do you see the great consequences of whether or not Christ rose from the dead at the heart of what Christ came to do is the issue of addressing my sins and your sins. See, it's interesting that Paul says that at verse 17 here. He says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. He doesn't say you're not going to heaven. He doesn't say you're not sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I mean, all those things would be true if Christ was not raised from the dead. But rather, he gets right to the bottom line issue. And that is, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Being in your sins or out of your sins determines everything else. If you're still in your sins, then you're in Adam. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You're not going to heaven when you die. But if you're out of your sins, then you're in Christ. You are going to heaven when you die. You do have the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit, and you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Isn't that amazing? And if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. The most fundamental offer of the gospel, the grace of God, is the forgiveness of your sins. It is the essential, fundamental offer. The essential, fundamental benefit of believing the gospel, the grace of God, and the fact of the resurrection of Christ. Everything else stems from that. Everything else that you get in Christ is conditioned upon the forgiveness of your sins. When you have all of your sins forgiven by faith in the blood of Christ, God imputes righteousness to your account. With that, He immediately gives you His life. It's called eternal life. Immediately placing you into the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, sealing you with the Holy Spirit of promise, giving you a home eternal in heavenly places, setting you with Christ in heavenly places, accepting you in the beloved, making you complete in Christ. Those are all predicated upon having your sins forgiven. But according to Paul here, if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Friends, everything stands or falls based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And not only are ye yet in your sins, friends, you got no hope. You got no answer for sins. You got no answer for death. You see, if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, your sins are still on you. And you have got no hope of ever getting rescued from the consequences of your sins. None. There's no answer. That's what Paul goes on to say in verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ. You know what happened to them? They perished. They're perished. And they got no chance of ever being rescued out of the consequences of the wages of sin, which is death and the lake of fire. Do you see that? Do you see how everything, fundamentally, at its most basic issue, stands or falls on whether or not Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Paul says, and they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. They got no hope. You think your loved ones are with God right now? You'd be wrong. The funeral services that you say for believers, they've departed to be with Christ? You'd be wrong. You say, well, I'm going to see my loved ones again. You'd be wrong. All those that have held the banner of the truth of God's Word rightly divided over the years, and they've departed to be with Christ, you'd be wrong. Paul says that if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins, and then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ, they're just perished. Got no hope, and you've got no hope. Friends, what a way to live. Men, might as well end it now, you know? And Paul says this, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. That is an amazing statement by Paul. If in this life only we have hope in Christ. If the Christian faith, if quote, hope in Christ, as Paul says, their hope in Christ, if it is limited to this life, meaning that there's no afterlife of glory and bliss and beauty and wonder and amazement and love and grace and acceptance and peace, that if our hope in Christ is limited to this life, Paul says, we are of all men most miserable. What is he suffering for? What is he going through the tribulations and difficulties for? What is he enduring them for? There would be no purpose, no meaning to it all. I used to hear people say, I've not heard it too much anymore, but I used to hear people say that even if the claims of Christianity were not true, that it would be better to live as though it were true just because of the moral issues of living a good life. Well, you know, friends, I don't think Paul agreed with that idea. Paul says right here, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, but if you choose to live according to the claims of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God in the midst of suffering and hardship and difficulty and so forth, Paul's conclusion is, man, we're of all men most miserable. Because we would be preaching a lie, we would be living a lie, we would be teaching people to believe in a false hope. And friends, that is being a deceiver, not an honest guy. Now look what he says, and we're out of time here, but we certainly can't finish on this note here, so we have to at least read the next verse. Look what he says at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. It's like he awakes. Wake up, guys. In fact, that's what he says at verse 34. He says, awake to the righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God to speak to you. He says, man, wake up to the reality that Christ has risen from the dead. and let it have an impact on your life. Paul's preaching is not vain. It's the truth. Your faith is not vain. It's in the truth. Paul is not a false witness of God. He's a true witness of God. Jesus Christ did rise from the dead bodily. You do have the forgiveness of your sins. Those that are fallen asleep in Christ are with Him. They've not lost anything. And certainly in this life we might suffer and go through difficulties, but it is not in vain, because the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. There is life after this life. There is that world to come. There are those ages to come. There is the dispensation of the fullness of time. And that's because Jesus Christ did rise from the dead bodily, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Well, we're gonna stop here for today. We'll pick up here next time, do some review, and then go on. We want to open this up for any questions and or answers or comments that you might have.
Thank you, John. No question, just a comment. You know, you're right. No resurrection, no life. And I agree with what you said. We are the most miserable of all men. Paul goes on to say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Why? Why continue to go without and lack things in this life if there is no tomorrow? I mean, you might as well just do whatever, like in our country so many have forsaken, you know, the faith, and eat, drink, and live, and do whatever they can just to stay at the top of the heap. Anyway, thank you. I enjoyed your message. It was encouraging on the resurrection.
12th message, it's always good to hear from you. And yeah, how true and how sad that so many live their life with the philosophy here that, yeah, there is no such thing as resurrection, no such thing as the afterlife. So, like you said, they just eat, drink, marry, for tomorrow we die. And boy, what a vain, purposeless, meaningless existence. And when you and I realize the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, man, all of a sudden it makes life exciting no matter what happens. Man, this is... the ride is wonderful. You know, it's filled with difficulties, hardships, and everything. But my oh my, there's purpose and meaning to it all. He lives. How are you doing today? I think you normally type in your question. I'm going to. Okay, here it is. Okay. The comment, it says, this was hard to hear. I'm not confused by it, but did not like to hear it questioned. Yeah, and that's, you know, like you say, even the Apostle Paul, when he can't believe that they're, well, I shouldn't say can't believe it, because he obviously is dealing with it, but it's like he's saying to the Corinthians, guys, are you kidding? Within the local assembly at Corinth, there were actually some saying, well, no, there's no such thing as bodily resurrection. And Paul is saying, you don't realize the consequences, the ramifications of what you're saying. You haven't really thought this thing through. So yeah, I agree with you. It was hard to hear. Paul's he's saying, guys, wake up here. That's again, that's why that verse in verse 32, he says, awake to righteousness and sin not. You know, so anyway, Ken put up on the screen there that if you are continuing to read through the Bible 3 chapters a day in order to get through it this year, then you should be right around Psalms chapter number 12. So Ken, thanks for reminding us about that. You should be right around Psalms chapter number 12. And again, just reading 3 chapters a day, you'll be able to get through the whole Bible in a year. So we got a lot of people that are on track doing that, and it's a great time going through that as a ministry. Anybody else have any questions or comments? All righty. Well, we will be back on this evening for our regular 7:30 p.m. Bible study. We will continue in the book of Philippians. And so we do want to invite you to be a part of that. Again, 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. We hope that you'll be able to enjoy us. And remember, as always, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. Have a great day. Please join us tonight. See you now.